The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with you. 2 Samuel chapter 3. David is at the funeral for Abner, and he's weeping at the funeral. And he says to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel?" Well, a prince and a great man fell yesterday. Dr. John MacArthur went home to be with the Lord yesterday evening. He battled illness for, the last 2.5 years of his life. He got sick in January of 2023, and that started a series of issues with his heart and then his lungs. He ended up dying from pneumonia at the age of 86. He was pastor at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California since 1969 and grew that church. God used him in great ways, the president of the Master Seminary and the Master's University. Dr. John MacArthur was known for his expository preaching and his commitment to biblical inerrancy. He authored so many books. AI says over 150 books. I had seen somewhere online that it said it was closer to 400 books where he authored or co-authored or had a hand in those. He produced the MacArthur Study Bible, which has sold 1 million copies. His radio program, Grace to You, was broadcast all over the globe. I appreciated John MacArthur so much. It's interesting how God uses different people in your life. I think it was Meg Bashan that said, it's like this feels like losing a father. And to many of us, I was talking to one of our staff members this morning, and she was teary because she said, I love John MacArthur, and so many people loved him without even knowing him personally or meeting him. Later in the program, we're going to have my friend James Warmack, who was a good friend of Dr. John MacArthur's and played golf with John MacArthur and spent quite a bit of time with him. He's going to be on the program just sharing some insights of how John was. But many of us feel like we knew him because we listened to so many of his sermons. So my formation, I was thinking back, as I had heard that Dr. John MacArthur was close on Sunday, Grace Community Church announced that it looked like he was very close to entering heaven, and he was in a coma, I think, and not responsive from pneumonia. But I was thinking through the guys that have had such an impact on my life and my ministry, and Dr. Damon Shook was my pastor for so many years at Champion Forest Baptist Church, obviously, and he had a huge impact on my life. And when I was in seminary, he was the one that called me and said, "Why don't you come and be my assistant? I can teach you about, how to pastor. You can finish up your seminary here." So that was such a great opportunity for me, and I appreciated him for doing that. I was pastoring, going to seminary and pastoring a little church on the side and working for Nalco Chemical Company part-time, selling pumps on the side. I was doing all that I could do. And when Damon Shook called me, then we moved from North Carolina, moved back to Houston to be at our home church. And I was with Damon Shook for 5.5 years. During my time as a salesman, because I was a salesman before God called me to preach for about 10 years, And I would listen to hundreds of hours of Adrian Rogers sermons. I was in the car a lot, and I just had a big bag full of his sermons, and I would get more and more and more and listen to some of his sermons 5, 6, 7 times. And so he really shaped my theology, Dr. Adrian Rogers. So Damon Shook, Adrian Rogers, Wayne McDill. When I went off to seminary, Dr. Wayne McDill was my preaching professor. And it was very interesting. So I'm there. We have a mixer with the faculty. I went to Southeastern Seminary. Dr. Paige Patterson was the president. I went there in 96. And the summer of 96, before the fall semester, we had a mixer with the faculty. And I met Dr. Wayne McDill. And Debbie told me after I met him, Debbie told me, that guy is going to be influential in your life. I don't know how she knew that, but she said that to me. And I said, okay. I took his preparation of sermons class my first semester in seminary. It's a 4-hour class. Most classes in seminary are 3 hours. It's 4 hours. And it was life-changing for me in terms of how I prepared sermons. And my first trade book that I did with Thomas Nelson was called Runaway Emotions. And it was based on a book that Dr. McDill had written, and I collaborated with him, said, hey, I'd like to take your book that was written more for seminary students and take it and put it into the everyday language of the people. And we did that together. He wrote the foreword for the book. And so he has had a huge impact on my life. And then as a pastor, listening to John MacArthur, I really don't preach a sermon that I don't at least consult what John MacArthur has to say about this text, because John MacArthur, Grace U website and their app has all his sermons, and he's preached everything out of the New Testament. Now he's spotty in the Old Testament, but every New Testament text he's got a sermon on that. And so I listen to those, and I don't agree with everything he says. You know, he himself says, I know I'm not right on everything, but I just don't know where I'm wrong. If I knew where I was wrong, I would fix it. And so John MacArthur is a 5-point Calvinist. I'm not a 5-point Calvinist. I'm kind of with Paige Patterson on being a 1.5-point Calvinist. I believe in the perseverance of the saints, and I believe in total depravity, but not to the point of total inability. And so we are depraved. We can't get saved in and of ourselves, but we can respond to God when he opens our eyes to truth. I believe that we can respond and we must respond. And so what I loved about John MacArthur, even though he was a 5-point Calvinist, he did not deny the fact that the Bible makes it clear that we must respond to the gospel. And if we don't do that, that we're held accountable for that. And God does, he does want all men to be saved. And so this is John MacArthur from some years ago. This is him talking about that difficult subject of how do you answer the question concerning free will and predestination. Here's his answer.
Let me do it this way. Okay, I'm gonna give you a little test. Okay. Do you believe that God is sovereign in salvation? Of course, we went through that today. Do you believe God chooses who will be saved? Of course. Do you believe the Father draws? Yes. Do you believe that the Son keeps? Yes. Do you believe the Son raised? Yeah. It's all sovereign. It's all predestined. It's all established. Absolutely right. This is what the Bible says. Do you believe that whosoever will may come? Yes. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe that God finds no pleasure in the death and judgment of the wicked? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus wept because sinners wouldn't repent? Of course. Are you willing to call all sinners to repent? And do you believe they're responsible if they don't come? Yes. Well, how do you harmonize that? I don't know. I don't know how to harmonize that. Well, you're asking too much of me. I'm not God. You want my little peanut pea pusillanimous brain to grasp that? Give me a break. It's not my problem. But the one thing I can't do is deny what Scripture says. This will comfort you. Who wrote Romans? This is basic Christianity 101 here. Who wrote Romans? Can't answer the question, can you? Why? All of Paul? All his vocabulary? All his heart? All his thoughts? All his words? All of God? And yet not mechanical? Since you did so well on that question, I'll ask you another one. Who lives your Christian life? God? So you want to hold him responsible for the condition of your Christian life? Who lives your Christian life? This is pretty basic, right? You're doing it right now, every day. Who's living your Christian life? You say, I am. Really? You say, God is. I don't know whether you could convince everybody who knows you. You can't even answer that question. Listen to what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. He didn't know either. He said, this is the divine mystery. It's all of me and all of him, and what's wrong is me and what's right is him. In every major doctrine of the Bible, in every major doctrine, you have an apparent paradox that you cannot resolve. I know that I'm kept eternally secured by God, but I also know I'm commanded to persevere in faith. Two sides of the same thing. I know I can't be saved unless I'm chosen and called, and I know I can't be saved unless I'm willing to repent and believe. I don't have to harmonize it, but nor can I deny those things. And in the end, mark it, folks, in the end, God will get all the glory for every righteous thing that is done, because it is all his work.
Well, that was Dr. John MacArthur talking about those paradoxes in Scripture. I think it's masterful the way he did that. You know, who wrote Romans? Well, I mean, if you were on Jeopardy, you'd say, well, the Apostle Paul. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that. So all Scripture is inspired by God, literally God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you have that paradox. I remember my father-in-law, who pastored for over 50 years, he said it's kind of like this. He was talking to me about predestination. He said, you see the portals of heaven, and it says across the portals of heaven, whosoever will may come. And you come and you walk under the archway to heaven. And on the other side, it says chosen from the foundation of the world. So both of those things are true at the same time. We don't understand that, but it is, as John MacArthur said, well, it's a divine paradox. We can't explain it, but we believe it. We had a caller yesterday that says, you know, it's not really our job to try and understand that, because it's one of those mysteries. So we just preach it, and we preach the gospel to people, and we say, hey, the Lord says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he invites us to come. The last chapter of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, there's an invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes drink of the water of life without cost. So you can come to him. But Jesus said in John chapter 6, no man comes to me except the Father who sent me draws him. So obviously God has to do the drawing. And remember this too, Romans chapter 8 and 1 Peter chapter 1, when it talks about predestination, it links it to the foreknowledge of God. Let me read to you. Because this is, I'm, as I said, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God chooses, you know, hey, you're not going to be saved and you are going to be saved just willy-nilly based on nothing. I think it's based on his foreknowledge, and Calvinists will disagree with me on that. But it says, for whom he foreknew, Romans 8:29, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. For whom he foreknew, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. For whom he foreknew, he predestined. So, do I believe in predestination? Of course. But what does God use to predetermine things? It's based on his foreknowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen... How are we chosen? Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. And so those things can be true at the same time. And I believe that the desire in the heart of God is to save. He doesn't want to condemn. John 3:16, greatest verse in the scripture, perhaps. And verse 17, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God wants to save. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're remembering John MacArthur, a man that's had such a profound impact on my life and so many other lives. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to my friend James Warmack, a personal friend of John MacArthur. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are remembering Dr. John MacArthur, one of the most influential pastors in our lifetime, without a doubt, but maybe of all time. He's made such an impact on so many lives in America and around the world through his faithful preaching of the Word of God, preached every passage in the New Testament. Took him 40 years to do that, and then started to tackle some of the big passages in the Old Testament. The Lord called him home last night. And so I welcome to the program two wonderful friends, James and Becky Warmack, and they have been good friends with Dr. John MacArthur for a number of years, and so I wanted to bring them on and just have them join us as we remember Dr. John MacArthur. So guys, thanks for coming on today.
Morning, Jeff.
Great to see you, and James, as I told you, it's always wonderful to see you with your wife, Becky, such a beautiful lady, and you guys have been such wonderful friends to me. But tell a little bit about how you came to know Dr. John MacArthur.
Well, at first, I really didn't know him. I just saw him in person at the Ligonier conferences in Florida, and this was probably back in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s. Becky and I attended two or three of those conferences, and Dr. MacArthur was there with R.C. Sproul and Alistair Begg and Al Mohler and Sinclair Ferguson. So I had heard him preach there. And then subsequently, I met a guy who was good friends with Dr. MacArthur's son, Mark. And I told my friend, I said, now, if Mark and his dad are ever in Colorado Springs and they want to play golf, I'd be happy to entertain them at the Broadmoor. And so come to find out, they were coming to Colorado Springs, and they looked me up, and we were able to play a round of golf at the Broadmoor.
All right. And so who was better between Mark and his dad?
Oh, Mark was a baseball player in college, so he could knock it a mile.
Is that right?
And he was a good golfer. But Dr. MacArthur, for his age, he was pretty good too.
Okay, so James, I had mentioned about this this tweet I saw from Phil Johnson, and I'm assuming you know Phil?
I don't know if I've met him or not, but I've seen him at the Shepherd's conferences.
Yes. So he had, you know, he was John's right-hand man for a long time. I love what he said in his tweet after John went home to be with the Lord. He said, John MacArthur's influence in my life was inestimable. He was a precious mentor and friend for nearly 45 years. In the pulpit, he was fierce, forceful, and full of earnest courage. In person, he was kind and gentle. Now, you knew him both ways, and would you agree with that statement?
Definitely. I've listened to a lot of his sermons, just like you have, and then I was able to interact with him on a few occasions.
Yeah,
one on one and in a group.
So I think yeah. People that didn't know him away from the pulpit would have thought he's just this. I mean, he's just so strong in his personality and how he came across. And when you sat down with him one-on-one, he wasn't like that.
No, not at all. I'll tell you a short story. When Dr. MacArthur was in town one time, I was with him and his son, Mark, having breakfast. And I'd mentioned to him that I was going to be in Florida on business. However, there was a group Bible study at the house here that I was leading. And I said to him, I said, would you mind filling my shoes while I'm out of town? And, you know, I was kidding, really. Yeah. But then he said, sure, I'll be happy to. And so, wow. Dr. MacArthur was here. And, you know, I told the group the week before, I said, now, I've got a guest coming in to lead our Bible study, and it would be similar to Jack Nicklaus joining your scramble foursome. And I didn't tell them who it was.
Yeah.
But of course, they were really surprised. But my son, JT, kind of leaked the information to his buddies. And so there were about 20 of JT's friends that showed up here.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Becky was here.
Yeah.
And Dr. MacArthur taught the word to the group.
How cool. So, Becky, what are your opinions of John MacArthur?
I think I would reiterate absolutely what Phil Johnson said. He was a very kind and gentle man, which was completely different than what was from the pulpit. No, both very sincere and earnest, but so kind and gentle. And I remember his interactions with his wife. We had dinner with them a couple of times, and just the kindness and gentleness that the two of them shared with each other, clearly loved each other and served one another. And it was a wonderful thing to witness.
What about Brooklyn?
Well, another story, the night of the Bible study, there was one of JT's friends, Brooklyn, was there. Brooklyn had been ill for a number of years, terminally ill. She was in her upper 20s at this point. And she was mobile. She was in a wheelchair, but she'd been on a feeding tube for quite some time. And after Dr. MacArthur's Bible study, the one night he subbed for James, he did his classic Q&A, which everyone always loves. Mm-hmm. And Brooklyn was the first to step up. She was front and center that evening. And Brooklyn said, Dr. MacArthur, I'd ask you a theological question, but I feel like I know all your answers because I've read all your books. So I'll ask you a personal question. And she asked him, how does she know it's time to die? And he proceeded with very sweetly walking her through a general question. How do you know God's will for your life? Mm-hmm. And he explained to her, as you're walking with the Lord in his word and through prayer and seeking his will, he puts his will in your heart, and you can trust that as you're renewed by his word, you can trust that he's leading you in his will as he puts his desire in your heart. Not long after that, she opted to go off the feeding tube. And as she was in her last days, Dr. MacArthur reached out to her and was able to leave an encouraging word for her.
Yeah, JT had said, he asked me, my son JT said, do you think Dr. MacArthur would be willing to give Brooklyn a call? It looks like her time is at hand. And so I said, JT, here's Dr. MacArthur's number. Give him a call and just tell him what you want him to do. And so that's what JT did. And of course, Dr. MacArthur called Brooklyn and left her a voice message.
Oh, wow. James, when was the last time you saw John MacArthur?
Oh, it was probably at one of the Shepherds conferences, maybe that one
that we
you.
Went to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I talked about that. That's right when he got sick the first time, was in January of 2023. You know, he started having problems, was losing his breath and couldn't preach the second service at Grace Community. And then when we were hoping that he'd be ready to go for the Shepherds conference. He did preach the last, the last session at the Shepherds Conference. He went through the whole book of Zechariah. I think he preached for, an hour and 25 minutes or something like that. So he had a lot to say.
Right.
Well, I appreciated you bringing me out there for that conference. I had never been to the Shepherds Conference before, and it was something else. What a great church, loving people. I think it was John MacArthur said one time, if you preach hard, your church is going to be very soft and tender-hearted toward people. If you preach soft, your church is more pharisaical, and it's kind of the opposite of what we think. But he preached hard. He preached the truth. He didn't water it down. But man, you could sense the love of God and the presence of God on the campus.
Oh, he was so kind. And that first Shepherd's Conference that we attended, he told me, he said, James, if you want to bring JT up and visit with me between one of the sessions or between two of the sessions, I'd be happy to see him and visit with y'all for a few minutes. And so, I don't know, thousands of men there at that yes. conference. And so he carved out about 5 to 10 minutes for us between sessions. And so JT and I went up to his office and talked to him for a little bit.
Yeah. James, do you know if they have a successor in line for him at Grace Community Church?
I don't know.
Yeah. Boy.
There are a lot of capable men.
Yeah.
But nobody will ever fill his shoes, I don't think.
No. You know, you think about Joshua when Moses died, and the Lord had to tell him 3 times, be strong and courageous, because who wanted to follow Moses and who wants to follow John MacArthur?
So that's right.
As you guys think about him and your personal friendship with him, what would you say are the maybe the top one or two things that you're going to take with you throughout life about him?
Well, of course, his faithfulness to God's word. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been so faithful in preaching God's word. And, you know, just our personal interaction. And on another occasion with him, my daughter was heading off to college. JT was still in college. And I said to Dr. MacArthur, I said, all right, Dr. MacArthur, before we have dinner, why don't you give us some scripture that will kind of propel our kids or put our kids on solid ground as they were heading to college. JT going back to college and Anna Grace just starting college. And so he says, I'll be happy to. And so what does he do? He talks about Psalm 19 and the word of God.
Yes. That was one of his favorites. He would always, that was a go-to for him. Becky, what about for you? Things that you'll remember?
I was very touched by his tenderness towards young people and children. That's not often the case, I think, with a you know, any renowned person in any field. Mm-hmm. But his, you know, our youngest son is at the Master's University right now. And when we visited, he was on campus going to the athletic events and watching the kids. And he knew who they were and what their stories were. And I know one Christmas, Jack wrote him a letter thanking him, you know, telling him how much he's enjoying the Master's University and what he's learning. And Dr. MacArthur wrote him a letter in return, very personally, and inviting him. He hoped to get together with Jack at some point when they were on campus. But his tenderness towards children, the last conversation I remember having with him, he was talking about his book that he was writing, The War on Children. And that was a deep, deep concern of his that he would spend time that evening talking about our culture's war on children. And I think that just speaks to his sensitivity to the littlest ones among us, the weak ones among us. Mm-hmm. He had a tender heart and a concern for them and demonstrated that regularly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Well, you know, I think for pastors to have that pastoral heart. Now, obviously, John's just one guy. He can't be at every hospital, you know, encounter. He can't do every funeral. He had a large church. He had a huge footprint. But it seems like he made the time to minister to those that he could minister to. James, when you were with him, like on the golf course, what was he like just kind of hanging out?
Oh, he was great. As I recall, we played the West Course at the Broadmoor, and Dr. MacArthur birdied the first hole, but he'd been given a new driver. And between hole 1 and hole 18, he had a lot of errant tee shots. And he was getting frustrated like we always do when we play golf and we can't control where the ball's going. And he looked at us you know, kind of quizzical, wondering what was going on. He goes, I feel like I should repent, but I just don't know what for. it was a good time. I mean, it was a good time out there with Dr. MacArthur and his son, Mark.
Yeah. That was the only time you played with him?
Yes. And that was probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So he was getting around really pretty well.
So did you beat him?
I probably did.
Yeah, but not Mark.
Yeah. Mark's a good athlete. He's a very good athlete.
Yeah. Well, the Broadmoor is not an easy course. If you're spraying your tee shot, you're in trouble.
That's right. We just hosted the U.S. Senior Open. So
is that right? What a beautiful place. Well, hey guys, you have been special friends. And James, I say this with all truthfulness in my heart, you really married well. Your wife is so wonderful and so beautiful, and I know you know that, but I wanted her to hear that too. It's always good for Becky, for us as husbands, to hear that we married over our heads. Every guy wants that, and you guys make a wonderful couple. I appreciate your family so much. And James and Becky, you know, I have such a special place in my heart for you, because From His Heart Ministries would not be what it is today had you guys not stepped up in those early days and supported us so much. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, Jeff, you're a great friend. We love you, and you know, you've been a pastor to us, so yeah, you know, that means a lot.
Thank you, brother. All right, well, you guys have a good one, and you're going off to Houston. You're not going, Becky, just James?
Just James.
Yeah, good. All right, very good. Well, safe travels, my friend. Hope to see you guys soon. God bless you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless. Well, we're remembering Dr. John MacArthur. You know, one of the things also that I loved about John MacArthur, now he is reformed in his theology, obviously, but his eschatology was not like so many reformed guys in being amillennial. James, or John MacArthur, was a, as he would refer to himself, a leaky dispensationalist. And he believed, just as the Bible says in the book of Daniel, there is coming a 7-year tribulation period. There's going to be the rise of the Antichrist. He believed in a pre-tribulation rapture and the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth after the Battle of Armageddon. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls as we remember Dr. John MacArthur. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we remember this great man, a prince and a great man. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are remembering Dr. John MacArthur as he went home to be with the Lord yesterday evening after a long battle with health issues, starting in January of 2023, in and out of the hospital with heart issues and lung issues. And the Lord called him home after this latest battle with pneumonia. And so, as Phil Johnson said, it's a painful loss for the church and for the Christian community at large, but a glorious triumph for John MacArthur as he went home to be with the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And so he is now experiencing things face to face, as Adrian Rogers said, when we die as believers, faith turns to sight, and the one you knew heart to heart, you now know face to face. Well, something that we're doing for the next several Tuesdays is a Tuesday Truth of It book giveaway. And so, as you may know, I wrote a book, came out in May, called The Devil's Newsroom, Muting Satan's Fake News and Tuning Into God's Truth. And this is a book to expose the lies of the devil. How do you combat the lies of the devil? It's with the truth of God's Word. And so I'd like to give this book away today. And so here's how you can enter. Just go to fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org/newsroom, fromhisheart.org/newsroom, and sign up to receive our encouraging weekly emails. And then you can also enter for an autographed book that we'll be sending out every week. And we're going to do this for the next several Tuesdays. So I'd love for you to get a copy of the book. And you can always go online, fromhisheart.org, or you can go to thedevilsnewsroom.com and you can pick up a copy. But I think it will really help you and encourage you in your Christian life. Now we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I want to hear from you as it relates to our subject today, remembering Dr. John MacArthur. And so we have Randy on the phone from Tennessee. Randy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I began listening to Dr. MacArthur as a young soldier. I was in the military, and knew God had called me to preach and didn't know exactly when and where I would be going to school. But he was my teacher on the radio for so many years. I had an opportunity to meet him at Bellevue Baptist when he spoke there with Adrian Rogers. Mm. I feel like I'm mourning because I've been college, seminary, and learned a lot there, but I learned more from John MacArthur than any other person, and I really have been blessed by his ministry. I just wanted to say that. I do feel like I've been mourning. I know he's with the Lord, but brother, I appreciate listening. I listen to you every day. I'm a pastor, and it's I just really enjoy you.
Thank you, Randy.
Bless you.
God bless you, brother. I feel the exact same way. You know, it just feels like you've lost a spiritual father. And although I didn't know John personally, I know so much about him. And one of the things that helped me so much, and Randy, this you may have this same testimony, not only his sermons, but his Q&As. You know, John would do every 6 months or so, he'd do a Q&A at his church, and they would just ask questions. And the wealth of knowledge that John MacArthur had was just amazing. And he would just answer questions. I started doing that at First Baptist Texarkana. We've done 3 or 4 Q&As, and bring your questions. You can email them in. Some people aren't comfortable just off the cuff standing up there. But just answering questions off the cuff. Now, I don't have the knowledge that he had, but, you know, if somebody asks a question, I'm like, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you with you on that. But I think more pastors ought to do that and just allow their people to ask questions and go listen to the Q&As that John did, because you can learn a lot. Just the information that he had, his grasp of Scripture and context. One of the things that I think has been so helpful to me as a pastor is listening to him give context for Scripture and for the books of the Bible and how that fits in. You know, we have to be, as John R.W. Stott said, between two worlds. And so we as preachers, faithful preachers of the gospel, you have to go into the biblical world and let the listeners know, what did this mean today? And then you bridge it in, what did this mean in their day? And you bridge it into our day. And so that book, Between Two Worlds, that I read for a preaching class, very, very important, because the Bible cannot mean what the Bible never meant. And if God gave a word to his people at a particular time, it had to mean something to them. Now, obviously, if it's prophetic and it's going to come in the future, Revelation didn't necessarily mean a lot to the people of that day as far as this is going to happen in your lifetime, because it didn't. But it means a lot in terms of this is how the story unfolds. and people that say, you know, I could never worship a God who allows sickness, disease, and death and terrible things to happen. Well, God didn't bring that about. That came about because of sin. And if you want to know what God does when it's all said and done, he brings about a perfect state. Read Revelation 21 and 22, the eternal state where there is no sin. And it is wonderful for all eternity with those who love the Lord, trust the Lord, believe in the Lord. We get to experience him for all eternity, and his children shall see his face, and the wonder and the amazement that we get to experience forever and ever is beyond words. And so that's what God has in store. What eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered the heart of man, all that God has for those who love him. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Yoakum from Texas on the line. Yoakum, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Appreciate you and your ministry. I listen to you a lot.
Thank you, brother.
I put you in close vicinity with John MacArthur.
Oh, you're very kind.
You're very good. I want to tell you a brief story. God sovereignly pulled me out of Germany many years ago, brought me through Latin America here to America. And I was absolutely unsaved. Some young folks spoke to me about Jesus, invited me to church, and the rest is history. And as a newcomer in the country with no connection, so I drove an ice cream truck to have an income. And in the ice cream truck, I listened to John MacArthur and all the other preachers you mentioned, day by day by day. That was my Bible school. And John MacArthur just laid a whole new foundation in my life. I mean, I was so wrong in everything that I had believed and stood for. And, you know, I had tears when I heard that he died, and but he's in glory. So,
yes.
Very influential in my life. And you are too.
Oh, thank you, brother. That means a lot.
Thank you. Amen.
Well, thanks for calling in with that. Yeah, there are so many, you know, that's the wonderful thing about radio and television and online things. You can reach people that you will never meet this side of heaven and have an impact on their lives. And the millions and millions and millions of people that John MacArthur impacted over the years because he was faithful. And, you know, John was not flashy. He didn't chase any kind of fads. I like what he posted. Somebody put this on, and it was John's words, but I want to get this right, so let me pull it up here. He said this: "You don't think the world has infected your church? Cut out the music. Turn on all the lights. Normal light bulbs, please. Have a man stand in front of them and preach the word. Try and sell that." You know, we have all these, you know, strobe lights and smoke machines and all these things. And, you know, John was just like, what is that? That is ridiculous. You know, you don't use the things of the world to reach people on a spiritual level. And so much of the, Clint Presley and I talked about this yesterday, that, you know, the things that are offered in the prosperity gospel come straight out of Matthew chapter 4. It's what the devil offered Jesus. Hey, you bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. What we offer people when we share the gospel with them is salvation. Hey, turn from your old way of life, repent, and spit on your pride, and come humbly to Jesus. Give your life to him. What does he promise you? Does he promise you health, wealth, and prosperity? Not in this life. He promises you eternal life. He promises you joy and peace and love and the fruit of the Spirit, wonderful things, but it's internal. It's not external. And the big reward comes when we die and go to heaven. And that's when faith turns to sight. But in this life, we can have serious trouble and difficulty, and you can be ostracized for your faith. You can be beaten and tortured for your faith. You can be incarcerated for your faith. But then when the end comes, faith turns to sight. As the Apostle Paul said right before he died, 2 Timothy chapter 4, that he had fought the good fight. He had finished his course. He had run the race. He said, "In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so I encourage older people to remember this. My mother is 96 years old, and her eyes are failing, her hearing's failing. She can't walk very well anymore, but her mind is still real sharp. And so you can get very discouraged as you get older because you can't do anything like you used to. But you need to remember the best is yet to come, because you're getting ready, whenever the Lord calls you, to have the greatest promotion of your whole life. And our goal, and the goal of every Christian, to be faithful. Be faithful to the very end. And as Jesus said in Revelation 3:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So Joachim, thanks so much for calling, and thanks for encouraging me. We have Daniel on the line from Virginia. Daniel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. It's such honor to speak with you, and especially on a day like today. I just wanted to say how special that you are. You know, the Lord has a man for every generation, and we love John MacArthur, and he's in heaven now. But praise God for you, and praise God for your ministry, and what you do with from his heart. And that I disciple guys from time to time, and that is must listening in my discipleship, as I do with guys, because you're faithful to the word and you hold forth the word just like John MacArthur. And it's just something how the Lord always has his people in different generations. And so I just wanted to thank you and encourage you. Mm. And I'm an African-American, and I tell you what, I love you to death. And I'm so glad you're here today. Because, you know, as John MacArthur goes home, praise God, we got somebody like Pastor Jeff here with that same kind of heart. So, brother, you just keep on and you be encouraged. And we pray for you and love you and your wife. They're just wonderful. You're just like Billy and Ruth Graham.
You're extremely kind, Daniel. Thank you so much for that. I'm definitely not worthy of any of those kind things, but I appreciate it so much. And you know, that's the goal, is to be faithful. Be faithful to the end, and to use your life. You know, we can all wake up and say, the Bible says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, the Lord be glorified. And so every day as we live our lives, Lord, be glorified in me, and making it, use my life to bless another person, to encourage another person, to help somebody whose eyes are on their problems to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so thank you so much for that, Daniel. That means so much to me, and God bless you, my brother. We have time for one more call. We have Obi, our friend Obi from West Virginia, on the line. Obi, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. It's always a privilege to talk to you or to listen to you, and I just want to reiterate what other folks have encouraged you to. One thing I'd like you to do, Jeff, that you might consider, is you might get a slide point Calvinist on your program, such as your friend Tom Askell, mm-hmm. and have him go through one letter at a time and why he believes the way he believes. I would really appreciate hearing that, Pastor yeah. Jeff. So, perhaps you might consider doing that sometime.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I appreciate that, Obi. We can do that. I do have David Allen coming on the program tomorrow, and he's going to talk about rescuing Romans from the Calvinists. And so, you know, I lean more that way, obviously, but I'm open to hearing from the other side. So I appreciate that comment. Listen, if you'd like to get a signed copy of my new book, The Devil's Newsroom, enter into the drawing today. Go to fromhisheart.org/newsroom. That's fromhisheart.org/newsroom. And we will be picking a winner and sending a book out this week. So go today. Be faithful to the Lord. Shine for Christ. Share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know that God will use you. He wants to use you. He will use you as his witness, as you look to him and as you shine and as you share. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.